I'm so glad you chose to go to that event instead of cooking me dinner. Look at what you're building. Look at what you're showing me is possible. I can be my own woman. I can make my own rules. I can do my own things, right? So really important that we look at the way that we see things comes from our own identity and the paradigm that we're subscribing to. So if we can expand that paradigm and go, okay, wait a minute. What if I get to be an amazing mother, a sexy, fabulous, loving partner, an incredible friend, a wonderful creator, career woman, entrepreneur, whatever your jam is, right? And be all of it.
Mama! Let's reimagine mom life together. Mama House Goals is your hub for relatable support and helpful resources that help you fuel yourself alongside motherhood. Your identity is bigger than mom, and whatever your goals are, together we're making them a reality. Our guest today, the title of her book is Worthy Human, You Are the Problem and the Solution. And I want to give you just that title because that is really a core message through what we're talking about today. And you may feel a little triggered. We walk through this. Don't worry. Keep listening. But it's important to understand where your worth is now and that you have the answers. You are the solution. But sometimes we need a little bit of support. We need to walk through that. And Tracy Litt is the founder of The Litt Factor, the School of Becoming, an international best-selling author, podcast host, science and spirituality teacher, and emotional healer. Tracy also holds her licensing in professional coaching, neurology, somatics, and hypnotherapy. Her revolutionary institute, The School of Becoming, integrates consciousness, neuroscience, healing, and energetics to help their students evolve into the next level versions of themselves. We break down why is it even important to go into the next level of yourself. Sometimes it's a responsibility we're not even sure if we want to take on, and we break down why you should, why you need to, and really help you understand what that means for yourself. It all starts with the core curriculum for Tracy and the identity evolution methodology, the mind magic. And every experience the School of Becoming delivers women experience a depth of love, connection, community that is unparalleled. And as Tracy states, community is the medicine. You know, we preach community here at Mama House Goals, and it is a medicine that we all have access to unlock what it means to become and that next level of ourselves. Tracy's own journey from single motherhood on food stamps to vice president of HR and human resources to CEO and founder of a seven-figure personal growth company fuels her passion for ensuring that everyone knows who they've been is a zero indication of who they are capable of becoming. Her podcast, The How of Within, is in season two and can be streamed on all major platforms. She was graced with the TEDx stage of her talk titled, Dear Fear, It's Not You, It's Me. Her self-help book, Worthy Human, that we chatted about at the beginning, is an international bestseller in 2019, and Tracy was named a top 125 global thought leader of 2022 in Success Magazine. Tracy Litt's unwavering commitment to elevating visionary leaders and facilitating their incredible transformations has made her force to be reckoned with, and the world is graced by all of her different presence. I am so grateful to have her on the podcast today. She is going to help you tap into that personal development and holistic success with her unique blend of science, spirituality, emotional healing, and compassion. So grab those headphones, grab a beverage. This is such a real conversation with tangible takeaways and also just the realness of life. You'll hear some of the things that I've struggled with and where I'm at currently, and have Tracy walk me through some of that as well. So let's dive in. Tracy, thanks for being here. I'm so excited to tap into the podcast. We're just talking about how we always have these great conversations before we click record, and we're like, we need to just tap in. So thanks for being here. How's life today? How's mom life? How's business life?
Life is so great. I actually want to pause us because I want to go back for a minute because, you know, one of the things that you were sharing is your story, right? And how you got here. And I want to witness you because you took that catalyst moment and you recognized it and you turned it into, on one hand, our children are part of our legacy. And then on the other hand, there's what do we do from an impact standpoint that creates the other part of our legacy?
Yeah.
And you took that moment, which was a catalyst moment, to go, wait a second, what am I doing here? And what can I do as the creator that I am? And the reason why I wanted to record it was because so often we get these moments, but we don't pay attention to them, or we ignore them, or we, you know, bypass them. And when you are being tapped for something, when life is putting things on pause, if you will, for a second, it doesn't mean then just go back to business as it was. It's going, wait a second. If there's a moment of pause here, it's asking me to check in and it's asking me to become aware and make some new decision. And you did that. And I want to witness it because one of the ways that we help make this world a better place, right? You are a community of mothers. I am a mother. At the core, we all just want this world to be a better place for our kids and our kids and our kids. And the only way that happens is by us as the grown-ass, beautiful women we are right now having this conversation, by going within, working on ourselves, not bypassing those moments and really allowing ourselves to realize what we can do.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that. And I really appreciate it. I think what's interesting is now being about almost 4 years out from the surgery and almost 2 years out from now doing something with it and using that catalyst. I remember that season in between those 2 years where it was like, okay, I feel the catalyst, but I don't know what's on the other side of it. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. And for the women that you support in your community and the way that you guide, how do you get through that in-between period? That period where you're like, I have this feeling, but I don't know what it means yet. What are some of the ways that you can take action maybe faster when you're so confused, but you have this feeling?
There's a couple components to that. The first one is recognize that the thing that's interfering with you knowing is the fear that sets in. As soon as you have some call, some whisper, some moment of I'm meant for more or for different, as soon as that happens from a biological standpoint, you're then thrusted into the unknown because what you're about to embark on is not familiar to you because if it was, it would be your current reality. And as soon as that takes place, we move into a state of dysregulation without realizing it. And then we start to perceive that we're living in states of confusion and states of lack of clarity. So if we can go, wait a minute, I have that hit, boom, it's time, there's something here, I'm ready to rock, then allowing yourself to slow down, spend some time with your body, give your nervous system the love that it needs so it can feel safe. The clarity that's there will come upon you. When we are dysregulated and fear is present, confusion is what it feels like. And I don't know is what presents.
Yeah, I love that. I remember it's this human experience, right? This evolution. And this still comes up for me, but it was so thick because it was the first time that I had felt this way when this happened. And so I think once it becomes a little more familiar, you can almost move through it a little faster.
Yes.
But when you're in this place where you start to feel this calling, you're going to act on it. It's confusion. You're overcoming the fear. Then where I switched to was feeling guilty, a lack of gratitude. Why do I want more? Why can't I just be happy with what I have? Why am I getting in my own way? Why am I not able to just be settled? And what does this mean for the other people connected to me? We see this so much in motherhood because why are we not fulfilled by just our children or our partner, our friends? So what would you recommend when you're in this place? Like, why do you think it is so hard to just like accept one that you want more? We talked a little bit about that. But then two, to not go into this place of it's different than the victim mentality. I want to get to that too, because that's important. But it's more of this worthiness, being worthy for wanting more. Where do you find that transition to be like, no, you are worthy. You should receive and accept and you should allow yourself to jump on that catalyst.
Yeah, this is so important. And this is a big conversation that we're about to get into. There is a paradigm of motherhood that has been thrusted upon all of us that is extremely limited. And if in fact, I want to say this before I say anything else, if in fact your single heart's desire is motherhood and motherhood exclusively, then get it, queen. I love that for you. If that's the deep down honesty behind the honesty truth, then what I'm going to say next might not resonate and that's okay. What I have learned over serving thousands of women globally, and I would say 95% of them are mothers, right? We work with leaders and entrepreneurs and most of them are mothers, is the truth is that's not the desire. But the paradigm of motherhood that's been given to us is motherhood is your identity. Once you have children, this is what you are here for. This is your purpose. Be a great mother, be a great homemaker, be a great spouse. And we are pushed into perceiving that wanting more is selfish, not aligned, is inappropriate, because that means you're going to prioritize yourself and your own needs and your own desires as if there's like a finite amount, which then means it'll be taken from your children or your spouse. And quite frankly, that's some 1950s bullshit. It just is. It's 2024. And I am sitting here now with an 18-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 21-year-old, all women as well. And best thing I have ever done is become an expander parent. The old paradigm of motherhood says the way you love your children is prioritizing them at all costs, always being available for them, putting their needs first. The new paradigm of motherhood, which is expander mothering, is the best way I can love my child is pour into me, prioritize my needs, allow myself to tap into desire and my unlimitedness, because we get to realize that we are co-regulating with our children. We are directly modeling for them. So what message are we sending if we don't allow ourselves to fulfill our capacity? Just be with that. What message are you sending your beautiful child? And we all agree, like, we're mothers, like, mama bear all day. My girls are always like, oh, please, you don't even see me. You're wearing your mom goggles. Like, I can do no wrong, right? Like, I get it. And what they say to me now is, wow, thank you. I'm so glad you chose to go to that event instead of cooking me dinner. Look at what you're building. Look at what you're showing me is possible. I can be my own woman. I can make my own rules. I can do my own things, right? So really important that we look at the way that we see things comes from our own identity and the paradigm that we're subscribing to. So if we can expand that paradigm and go, okay, wait a minute. What if I get to be an amazing mother, a sexy, fabulous, loving partner, an incredible friend, a wonderful creator, career woman, entrepreneur, whatever your jam is, right? And be all of it.
Because it's up to us, right? It's our choice to make that decision to be all of it. But I think when we can look at the broader vision, that's easier, right? We can say, I want to be all of these things. I know I want to be all these things. Sure, I believe in myself. I'm an ambitious woman. I'm a great mom. I'm a mom with goals.
Yeah.
But then it comes to that day where you're choosing to miss the game or to not make dinner or to not be there. And that's where people get tripped up in being, I wouldn't say out of it. You're just getting into a new season that has all of its own new challenges.
Yeah, exactly.
But being on a different side of maybe the parenting journey. I listened to a podcast episode once with the founder of Care.com. And she talked about how there were moments when her son was younger and he would say, Mom, you weren't there for this. And it tore apart. And then when he got older, he was like, you know what? I'm happy you weren't there because now I see why. But when they don't get it, when they don't see it in that moment, how do you follow through?
Yes, this is so fabulous. Let's do just some straight up teaching. You are not your mind. This is why coming in and working on yourself and becoming is not optional, because you learn great things like this. Mm-hmm. You are not your mind. You're the being with a mind. And the thoughts that your mind is going to offer you is always going to come from fear, ego, or past experience. Your mind is never going to default to populate in that exact moment, right? Like, you're leaving the house to go to an event and your kid's like, you're not coming to baseball, right? And in that moment, your mind's never going to be like, get it, queen. This will be so great for him in a few years. That's never going to happen because of our wiring. Your mind's going to say, oh my God, I should feel bad. Look how sad he looks. Am I doing the wrong thing? And then we question ourselves, right? Because it's all affirming your emotional familiarity, your emotional addictions. It's affirming your belief structure and the way that you see the world. So you stop and you just really get to say, wait a minute. So I'm not my mind. I'm the woman with a mind. And I'm going to take a few breaths because I know that the best way I can love in this instance, this delicious little boy who has 176 baseball games in a season. And so I show up, right? I want to make sure we're being clear. I'm not saying let's, you know, not show up, but we all know our kids do a lot of things and there's a lot of showing up that we do. You can then take a few breaths and say to yourself, when I show up for me, I show up for him. Take this down the trajectory possibilities. Let's say this boy who becomes a man is a heterosexual relationship, because I want to concisely create this example. And in his heterosexual relationship, he's married to a beautiful woman. What kind of husband is this guy going to be? He's going to be amazing. He's going to be like, you know what? Go, babe. Go do it. You want to do that? Do you see what I'm saying? We are forming little people into big people. And the lie was, is that we should enable them and be in everything and do everything constantly and put ourselves last on the totem pole. And that, if you look now, is not churning out such great results. So it's really knowing in that moment, I am not my mind. Let me give my body some safety. Let me chill. Let me choose a thought that's in alignment with the woman I'm becoming. And what I really know is aligned here. When I show up for me, I show up for him. This is going to be amazing. And the other thing I will say, because I'm on the other side of it, just like the story you just told, we all want our children to be empowered. We all want to have contributing members of society that are empowered and that are capable. That requires experiences where they have to self-regulate, where they have to reason, where they have to show up for themselves, right? And when we give them that space, it's also like, oh yeah, look, mom did that. And then she came home and all was well and I'm safe. Instead of creating what happens often unconsciously is this low hum of codependency that serves no one.
Yeah. It doesn't serve you or your child. You're right. And it sets them up. Let's not go as far to say failure, but it doesn't set them up for success. It doesn't set them up to be expansive and be the person that we want them to be, the best version of themselves.
Yeah.
And you used this term earlier, being an expansive parent. And I'd love for you to just go into a little more detail with that, especially on the day to day. Like when you wake up in the morning, you don't have an event going on. You're not jumping on a stage that day. You're just lifing. You're just momming. What does it mean to be an expansive, not just parent? Because I'd love to bring in, what does it mean to be expansive for yourself? And then in turn, be an expansive parent.
Yeah. So the core of being expansive is being committed to your own evolution and really cultivating your consciousness. Being able to say, I love being aware and more aware and creating space, slowing down, not rushing into your phone, rushing into what everybody else needs from you, giving yourself time, whether it's meditation, which I'm a massive advocate for. We run lots of meditations, time outside with nature without your phone, maybe a walk without your phone, just that space. For you with you. Like it makes me emotionally been saying it. The power of you with you is critical for your expansion. And then in instances like with our kids, I'm sure this has happened for almost everyone that's hanging out with us. Someone forgot their homework. Someone forgot their lunch. And you get the call from the school. Oh my God, I forgot it. Will you please? No, I won't. Why? Because I love you. And you'll learn this once. And you won't forget again. That's an expansive moment. Let me be clear too. Is it painful? Oh my God, it's gut-wrenching. Helping my daughters who are now really awesome become young women was painful.
Yeah.
It's pay now or pay later. That's parenting truth.
Yeah. And you know what came up for me when you said that too, is for the parent that can't and feels the guilt, this is almost permission that you don't have to, right? Even when you can. As I'm 36 weeks pregnant and we're recording this, the one thing I am really not looking forward to with my third child that everything else I'm like, I'm excited is nursing again. I just do not want to do this again. And we'll see where I end up. But when I was talking to a friend about it yesterday, I was like, it's this fact that I've been able to, so I have to. And I see that coming up in even the example you gave where if you're home and you are able to take the lunchbox to school or you're able to bring the homework in, it makes it so much harder to say no. And also when you can't, it gives you this permission of being like, you know what? I can't. And it's okay because I'm not hurting you. I'm helping you. I'm able to do this. And maybe that's a little indirect with the nursing example, but it shows up in other different things where it's like, just because you can, you don't have to.
Correct.
You get to go in and see, do you want to do this? Do I need to drop off the lunchbox? Do I need to go drop off the homework? And give yourself permission to say no and set those boundaries. It doesn't always have to have a super clear why. Where do you see this show up where it doesn't always have to have this justification? You don't always have to clearly know why. You can set these boundaries or not even boundaries, but stepping into something. Maybe it's when you've gone to an event or you've chosen to take action for yourself and you're like, I don't actually really know why I'm being called to do this, but I'm just going to go do it.
Yeah, well, that's trust. And none of us were raised to trust ourselves.
Why do you think that is? What do you think specifically it is?
Specifically because we were oppressed, because we were raised in a patriarchal way, because women were second-class citizens. I believe it was either 1972 or 1974 that women finally didn't need co-signers to get a credit card. So number one, just that overall world, right, of oppression, suppression, repression with women in general. Then you look at specifically like family of origin, because we're having a conversation about what stops us from trusting ourselves. The family origin. Take a minute and just think back. How often were you given choices, really? How often were you given choices? Very rarely. Okay. And then how often were you given choices? This is interesting because it's back to what is the teaching them consequence thing. And then learning, like, I didn't do the thing I thought I wanted to do, and that's the consequence that happened. Or I did do the thing because we micromanage our children and it's just wrong. And the same thing happened to us because most parents tie their own self-worth to their children. And that's the core of the whole issue. You think your children is you and you are your child, and whoa, no, like they are a soul having a human experience. So are you. They were born to you because that's their soul's journey, and their journey is actually not yours. So when we think about, okay, wait a minute, what's stopping my trust in myself? So we have family of origin, we have, right, the patriarchy in general, and then we have the current society that we live in. We are all bred in an external creates the inside and an outside creates the inside kind of model. So we are taught to ask other people, to wait for some sort of sign, to consult 17 of your closest friends before you're actually going to make a decision about something.
Post in the 3 Facebook groups, see what they say.
Yes, the culture and society we live in is third dimensional, which means it thrives in lack, fear, and separation. And none of that is trusting. Trusting is a higher consciousness concept.
So there is this balance though, right? There's mentorship, support, and resources that we should tap into, that we shouldn't have to navigate life all alone all the time. We can take pieces of our puzzle and success clues from others to move forward. So how do you know when to pursue support outside of you and when to just go inward? What are some of the flags or some of the questions you can ask yourself? And I heard you say meditation earlier, so I feel like that's the broad answer.
So a few things here. The first thing is we're never meant to do anything alone. Do not conflate trust with doing things alone. They're like apples and zebras, not even close, right?
Yeah.
That's actually one of the things we need to shift. No more aloneness, no more isolation. Come into community. Like the beautiful thing you've built, right? Beautiful thing we've built at the School of Becoming. Never be alone. It's not about aloneness. It's about community, so you can feel safe and loved and supported. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the ability to sense, whether you want to call it gut or intuition or your personal truth. It means like flexible, resilient, right? Which means you're not dysregulated all the time. You're not a chicken with your head cut off running around, spinning all the plates. You're not totally stressed out. You're totally anxious. When we're in those dysregulated states, you cannot delineate what your truth or your trust or your desire really is because you're actually not available for it. So it's an unpopular answer because we live in a microwave society where everyone just wants to hear, okay, I'm going to do these 2 steps. And then I love you too much to not be honest, allowing yourself to say, great. So I'm going to focus on my own evolution and I'm going to create space and I'm going to lay in the bath. It's a beautiful way to get body. I'm going to take walks without stimulation. I'm going to meditate. And then you'll be able to hear and sense it. So it's like cultivating that trust and that intuition while being community. Gives you this like bolstered confidence, like a shoulders back, tits out feel where you're like, okay. And then when the truth comes up, when the intuition comes up, then you allow yourself to say, okay, this is what really does feel aligned to me. And I'm going to trust myself. And I can simultaneously hear other people's perspectives, hear their lived experiences. Right? Let's talk about nursing because you just brought it up and it's a really awesome topic. You could in your body know nursing is for me. Let's just say that's the answer. And you can come into mom's groups and you can get opinions. Don't adopt them as yours though. Listen. Take a minute, hear the perspectives, right? And then hear the perspectives of the women that have the same, oh, she did. Oh, okay, that's interesting. And then the women that are like, it totally wasn't for me. And this is what, oh, okay, that's interesting. And you get really good at allowing counsel because we all deserve it. I've had mentorships and I'm always working with a mentor. Don't do what they say. That's abdication of power. but I seek their counsel. I'd like their perspective. But then it's our responsibility to say, like, almost, thank you, everyone. I have read the comments. I have heard the advisement. Thank you. And then going back to the bath or back to the walk and back within and going, okay, what's aligned for me? And the key part of this is not a mental game. You are not going to think this over because that's where you're getting in trouble. You're going to feel it through. So let's shift from think it over to feel it through. And your body doesn't lie. And you'll know.
Yeah. Like that. Taking it back to what you said, you have to be regulated enough to feel that, to receive. And it reminds me of, I was going to say toddlers at first, but really teenagers too. You can use either example of this, where we've all seen that child in that state where they're just inconsolable. They are either the toddler that the banana was peeled the wrong way, or the teen that has no idea why they're having all the emotions that they're having. And you're just sitting there like wanting to hold them, but they can't regulate it. And so our job is to help teach them how to do that. But if we think of ourselves as parents, are we doing as adults? Are we helping ourselves know how to regulate and what we need? Because I can picture us going to that child and being like, what do you need, honey? What do you need? And they're like, I don't know. The world's crumbling. My banana's peeled the wrong way. This kid texted me this thing or posted something on social, or that guy didn't like my picture. All the things that our kids deal with, and they're not recognizing that's why they're upset. They don't know what actually triggered it because they haven't learned those skills to be able to feel in their body. And we as parents and adults sometimes do the same thing, but we forget because we just get lifing and checking boxes and we didn't actually slow down and create those for ourselves. So I love that you bring that up, that sometimes as parents, we go back and we expect this of our children and we need to pause and be like, have I even done that for myself? Do I even have these skills? Do I know how to do this? I love that you bring up how important this is and how to do it. Taking a bath is such a tangible example of how you can do that. For someone else that maybe they don't have a bath, or there's another way that you could today focus on self-regulation, what is one thing they could do today?
Breathe in a different rate, depth, and pattern than you usually breathe. Because once you start to breathe, and I'll show you a breath, is you're going to realize how often you never breathe. You are holding your breath for so many seconds in a day, it's shocking you're still alive. That's how we roll. And it keeps us dysregulated. Or your breath is super shallow and erratic, and it perpetuates a lot of uncertainty and anxiety. As we're sitting here, one simple, just like in through your nose and out through your nose, one intentional breath, like you just deflated a balloon, will be amazing as a feeling. And then what you can do is counting for four as you're inhaling, holding the breath at the top for seven, and then exhaling for eight, and all in and out of your nose. This is important because your parasympathetic state, which is your, let's call it your calm regulated state, is activated when you are bringing breath to your lower lung. And when we are breathing in out of our nose, we are naturally pushing air down to touch that lower lung. If we keep our breath in our chest, we're actually bringing about more of the sympathetic stress state. So we can breathe in through your nose for four, breathing in, and then hold it, and then slowly exhale through your nose. And you do that three rounds through, and you will feel like a different person, because when you're dysregulated, your prefrontal cortex goes offline. We have to move out of reactivity. And we can't move out of reactivity if we're still jacked up. So even in a situation like, let's go real life again, because this conversation is so rich and filled with real life. You walk in from work and your kids are fighting. And it is just like you walked in, and on the way home, you listen to a podcast and you're like, yes, I am zen. I'm feeling myself. I know I'm going to be amazing. I'm being grounded tonight. And you walk in and the kids are just being kids and the house is just a little bit of hell. Close your eyes in the middle of the store. Just do that breath. And all of a sudden, the prefrontal cortex comes back online. Conscious choice. You can make decisions, right? But it's in that moment to be aware enough of yourself to pause and interrupt what's going on with you so that you can have a different experience on the outside.
Yeah.
So 4, 7, 8, in and out through your nose. And even if in the beginning, because until you start to work on your breath, you might only get to 3, 5, and 7. That's totally cool. The most important part is that your exhale is at least 2 counts longer than your inhale. That's the trick. So even if you're like 2 in and 4 out, you're still going to have an experience.
I think this is so important. I remember I was on a call once and the person leading the call, it was like a community networking call, had everyone do an audible exhale. So that she was like, get the sound of exhaling. And in the moment, I was like, oh gosh, this feels a little silly. And I got off the call and I was like, I literally don't think I've ever breathed like that before. I don't think I've ever taken a deep breath out. And it's so real. Like you said, we don't realize how much we're not breathing until you go and do it. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I don't breathe like that. And your body truly does respond. It feels so different. So for anyone that's like listening while you're doing the dishes or laundry and you haven't actually done that exercise yet, it's so important. So please come back and have Tracy walk you through that and do it yourself, because it honestly, when we talk about regulating your body, it's a game changer for breathing. And it's also great to teach our kids, where regardless of age, we all should breathe no matter how old we are, and being able to really navigate that. I know that we can all be guilty of the, oh, but I'm doing this, or, oh, that doesn't work for me because of this. And there's this thing that comes up. Is there a term for that? When you teach people how to work through this and to really the school of becoming who you want to be in any form, what is it that stops us? What are those roadblocks or speed bumps that you start negating this conversation in your head? Oh, I can't regulate myself in that situation because you don't understand this is what's going on. Or, well, I have all these other things, so it doesn't apply here.
You're so good. It goes back to what I was saying before. So your system, and when I say system, to your mind, your body, your nervous system, because it's actually all connected, even though we are walking around not realizing that our heads are attached to our bodies. Your system is completely disinterested in you feeling different than how you feel, doing different than what you do, and being different from who you are. So anything that is remotely representative of different or change is going to be perceived by your system as threatening, as in kill you threatening. Mm-hmm. And one of its agents is that it deploys a limited level of thinking. And then because you haven't hung out long enough to realize, oh, wait, I'm not my mind, you believe those thoughts and then you stay the same and your system wins and your capacity for who you could be loses. And there is no gray. So all of those thoughts that are being driven by fear and ego in that moment, right? And past experience, because you don't have this version of you that prioritizes herself and is regulated and all these things we're talking about. So the mind throws up to you is, this isn't going to work for me, or it's too hard for me to do that, or it might work for somebody else and not me, because it is always, always, always going to drive you into the same, because same equals safe to your wiring. Those thoughts aren't real. There's nothing unique and rare about you or even your specific kind of trauma or the house you grew up in. Trust me, thousands of women globally, we're all connected. The thing we think is so only us, ever only us, both in the traumas we've had and in the successes we've attained. It's beautiful. You're not alone. And then really realizing, wait a minute, okay, so if I just play with Tracy for a minute and I go, fine, I'm not my mind and I'm not going to believe any thoughts that I think. And instead, I can choose a thought that's going to help me align to who I want to be, what I want to do, how I want to feel. And we're here and we're doing the breathing thing. I'm going to go, it's really easy for me to change. Oh, what was that? That was an intentional thought. And then you start doing it. And then you gain the evidence. You're like, oh, I feel so amazing. This is so great. It's the science of becoming.
So we started this conversation talking about having a catalyst moment, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of us have that. A lot of it, for some, it's motherhood. I don't actually believe that you lose yourself in motherhood. I believe that you didn't know who you were before and you just start questioning it after motherhood. But if someone hasn't had that catalyst feeling yet, there's not that big thing. They're not sitting here, I want to evolve, I want to change. Why do you think it's important? Because this is actually like a human value that I have. I believe that we are meant to evolve. It's a belief that I carry corely that everyone should evolve. Do you believe that as well? And if you do, then why? Why is it so important that we have that self-conviction and that we force ourselves to grow and evolve? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's your purpose in life, because it's actually your purpose. You're a spiritual, energetic being having a human experience, and your divine moral responsibility as your contribution to the collective is to go within and evolve, which means healing your shit, learning how to run your mind, and expanding your relationship with fear, and unarmoring your beautiful heart, and allowing yourself to be vulnerable, and tapping into your calling and your unique gifts. This is how we contribute to the world. Instead of sitting and being frustrated and watching news and contaminating your mind and all these things, you're going, this is our purpose, our calling, our passion. Go ahead, build businesses around it, monetize it, make an impact with it all day long. Me as the creator of the school becoming, it's not my purpose. That's my calling. My purpose is to work on myself. That's my purpose. And to take it further, because you're a mom, and if the interesting thing is that if that's not enough for you, let this be enough for you. You are co-regulating with your children, and they will never, ever out-succeed the person you are. They will never be more relaxed than your nervous system will be in co-regulation with them. They will never be more confident than you actually are at your core. And you need to do it for them if you're not willing to do it for you, period.
Yeah.
And you're also healing your ancestors and your descendants when you work on yourself, right? So it's great. Let's make the world a better place. How do we do that? We each take responsibility and we work on ourselves and how we show.
Yeah. And I have those days where I'm like, I'm here for it. I'm here for the responsibility. I was called. I was given this opportunity. I get to, you know, this mentality. I'd be lying if I didn't say that there were days where I was like, why do I have to be the one? Why do I have to be the one that goes and does the healing and is responsible and sets the boundaries? Because not everyone is going to step up to the plate. Not everyone is going to receive their own personal calling. And then we have to, like you said, co-regulate and be in society with people that don't choose that journey. How do we go, okay, yes, I'm going to do this even when maybe other people aren't going to? And should they? Debatably, yes, but they're not going to. So how do you take on the responsibility still?
Yeah. So a couple things. Everyone wakes up at their own pace and level. Hopefully it happens in the lifetime that we're all experiencing together. Maybe it won't. Cool. Either way. Two things. You got to feel your feelings all the way, right? That we're, I'm an emotional healer. At the core, we have to feel our feelings. Don't sit with it. Get mad about it. Go to a rage room. Punch a punching bag. Push the wall with all your might, like you're trying to move the wall. Shake your body out. Scream in your car. These are all regulatory practices of expression, right? Feel it first. Because what we don't do is we don't feel it. And then we just bottle it up a little bit. And then we're volcanic and we're anxious and we're mad and we're edgy. And it's, ew, why? Because at the core, what we're talking about in honoring our purpose and evolving isn't about the work you're doing in the world. It's about the energy you're emitting from your electromagnetic field. It's about love, Kelsey. It's about how loving can we be when we are in car line and not being pissed off and impatient, when we are walking past someone as we enter the grocery store and, dare I say, look in their eyes and smile and exchange, spread love. That's what happens when you're happy with yourself. That's what happens when you're regulated. That's what happens when you realize that you are derived of the same oneness, pure love as the sun and the moon and the stars and the atoms and everything else, because you are an energetic being. That's the work. And it's not grandiose. It's those simple moments I just expressed, and it changes everything.
Yeah. I love that you bring up the grocery store concept, because I think the next time someone is in a public setting, actually look at someone else there. It has blown my mind when I've become more present how much of that we don't do. How much we just walk through our day-to-day. We have zero idea what anyone else around us is doing, and we're not aware of it until we're aware of it. And I think that is so, so important. Yeah. The school of becoming, the concept of becoming and who we are. Mama Has Goals is all about that. Your goal could be to take a shower today. Your goal could be to launch a crazy business, to have the cutest Pinterest activity there is. I don't care what it is. It's specific to you. Becoming is the same thing. Right? You're becoming what it is to you. Talk to me a little bit about that and how it is unique, but within this framework we've been talking about, right? I think of like a bowling alley. We all have the same lane, but where we end up on the lane is different. It's unique. It's your becoming within this lane. Talk a little bit about what the lane is and where there is the freedom.
Yeah. So everything is unique to you. Even your nervous system imprint is unique. Your desires are unique. Your calling is unique. Like you were saying, your goals are unique. Becoming is evolving, right? So inside the school of becoming, we run neuroidentity evolution technology that we created. And becoming is your ability to both unbecome the parts of your identity that don't feel good, that you didn't choose, right? The part of you that hasn't processed that your dad left when you were two, and it's impacting your marriage and your intimacy, right? The part of you that knows you are meant for more, but you can't quite see it yet. All of this kind of healing component, there's an unbecoming process that has to take place. And this is part of our divine responsibility to work on ourselves. And then being able to tap into, like, how do I want to show up in the world? Who do I want to become? And it's not tangible. Sure, you can come into the school of becoming, and many women do. I want to take my business past the 7-figure mark. Yay. But the way I get you there is by helping you become the version of you who is that. We're not talking about money because it doesn't matter, right? It's about realizing that everything you experience in your life is driven by your perceived identity. And in order for you to have a different lived experience in your marriage, in your motherhood, in your friendships, in your career, in your health and wellness, it's an inside job of you becoming that version of you who is currently, let yourself for a minute, like smile, like the version of you who's currently loving it, living the version of you that is calm, that is regulated, that prioritizes herself, lives for date nights, that loves to be with her children and is actually present and her mind's not running somewhere else, who's showing up and answering the call of building this business that she's, oh my God, but can I really do that? Like, oh my God, no, I can't really do that. And I'm going to become her, because when I embody the version of me that is all of those things, then that's the reality that I generate. Your lived experience is a mirror reflection of your identity. That's the becoming process. So yes, you get to choose, and it's all based in how do you want to feel? That's the core. And that's where we serve module 2 of our core framework. Literally, what are your guiding life feelings? Because you know, the way you're spending the hours of your day feeling right now is not it. So how does this woman you're becoming spend the hours of her day feeling? And what if that was the priority? And that's when it gets really fun.
And that last word, the priority, right? Making your becoming, your evolution, these choices a priority. Because it is really easy to just go through the motions every day. And then it's scary to some and a little dark to others. But that day that you're going to be laying there and you're going to say, man, I wish I had made it a priority. I wish I had gone into it. I think that it's important to think about that. Sometimes people are like, oh, don't talk about that. It's taboo, or you shouldn't reflect on those things. I think it's really important to realize that we all have a limited amount of time and we don't know what it is. And it's our responsibility to act on the time we have and become who we want to be and get the support and resources that we need to be able to do that. So I absolutely love that. We also have a responsibility to others, and you have a program that is coming up right now. I want to talk a little bit about that. Like, how do you take the ownership for yourself and others? And tell me a little bit about this virtual experience and what it means to be a conduit.
Yes. Oh, thank you so much. I'm super pumped about it. So Conduit is a 3-day live virtual event. And a conduit, we are all conduits, which means we are the connectors. We are the throughway, right? You are, everything is happening through you. You are the generator. You are the common denominator. And when you can understand, which you will, because we break it down really well, that what you are experiencing is a direct reflection of the conduit that you are being. And when you can shift the levers inside of yourself, then you become a conduit for what you actually desire and what you're capable of, instead of you're being the conduit right now for what your current lived experience is. We're always manifesting. We're always practicing something. You're either practicing who you've been or you're practicing who you're becoming. But when you really understand that, everything changes. And one of the things we've observed in serving so many beautiful women is healing the way that you're showing up is where it really needs to start. So in Conduit, we're really helping you heal the way you lead so you could feel good and do good. And really tapping in, everyone, right now to, when I say lead, when I say leader, when I say leadership, do you see yourself as such? What I want to start by offering is all leadership is self-leadership. And when you realize that, ooh, whoa, okay, so I am leading. Okay, so let me take some radical personal responsibility and let me change what's happening in the input of my conduit.
That is going to be such a good event. And we are going to link it down below. It's a free virtual event, 3 days, kicking off on April 9th. And I can't wait for everyone to tap into that. I'll be tapping in, very pregnant. and hanging out there. And one other resource that I know you have for people that, regardless of when they're listening to this, they can tap into is your book. And the title of your book is something that I think is so real. You are the problem and you are the solution. So what does it mean to be the problem and the solution? We've talked through a lot of this today, yeah. right? We've talked yes. about where you're holding yourself back and you're the problem and where yeah. you can let yourself free with the solution. But give us a little bit more insight who this book may be for. And also for the person that knows they're the problem maybe, or they're not aware yet and they need this tough love.
Okay. I love it. So you're the problem and the solution is the tagline, right? The title of the book is Worthy Human. And this part's important to how I'm going to answer this. So it's Worthy Human. You are the problem and the solution. Just like I mentioned, you being the conduit, it's another way of me saying it, right? Everything is coming through you. You are the cause of the effect. Belly up to the bar, sister, because that's the deal. Now, worthy human is the truth, because the only thing that stops us, right? Because it's cool. If you're agitated with me right now, I welcome that. Because the only thing that really stops us from going, okay, fine, I am the problem and the solution, is that we are letting our worth be negotiable. So somewhere in your psyche, you're thinking, if I take this responsibility, if I take the ownership, if I let myself go, yes, I am the problem and the solution, then somewhere inside, it roots me deeper into my unworthiness, my I'm not enough game, the I suck, the I'm inherently wrong narrative. And that's not it at all, because the truth is that you are inherently whole. You are inherently worthy. Everything else is a lie. Your coach, your rabbi, your priest, your parents, your sibling, all the things throughout life that led you to believe directly or indirectly that your worth is something that's earnable or negotiable is crap. And the truth is you are whole and worthy and loving and delicious and enough simply because you woke up today. So because you first say, fine, I am a worthy human, you can then be like, sweet, so then nothing can influence my worth. My worth cannot be negotiated. Oh, fun. Therefore, I'm the problem. Okay. And it allows you to do the work.
So good. I think we all need that in our pocket, literally. So where are all the places that people can continue to have you in their pocket and pour into them?
Amazing, amazing. So theschoolofbecoming.com is the best place to be. There's a whole library in the school of free resources, blogs, articles, our podcast, me being interviewed on podcasts, videos, talks I've done, all free. You just go to the school and hang out there. And there's also the Ascension Assessment, which is also free. And when you take that, it actually shows you, it's like an 11-question quiz, and it shows you where you are on your becoming journey. And then we send you curated resources in the library. So let's say you come out and you're an attractor, then we'll say, read this, watch this, listen to this based on your results.
So good. Everybody loves a good quiz, right? It guides us to exactly what we need and where we need to go. So definitely head to the School of Becoming, tap into that. And then on Instagram, you're at the Lit Factor, right? Which I just love, because that's like when I talk about having you in the pocket, it's like Lit Factor. I need you in my pocket. Exactly. Amazing. We'll tap in there. Two more questions for you.
Yeah.
I would love to know, we've talked about all these different things. Some of the core themes that I've heard through this is definitely like worthiness, self-acceptance and responsibility, taking action with that, being an expander for yourself and as a parent, the challenges that we can honor of like why it's so difficult to really step into this energy and what we've had put on us by society and our upbringing, all of that. It's all true, but we still have to move forward. So knowing some of the things that you've given us today, from breath to the bath to honoring it, moving forward, accepting, what is the one thing that if someone got off of this today, and they were going to take action, and I want like big action, they're going to accept this, they're ready, they're going to take a big action, they're going to commit to maybe it's a habit, or it's a real big shift that they're going to put in, what would that be?
Breathing. It feels ridiculous. It feels insignificant. It feels, but Tracy, I breathe every day. You don't. One of the things that everyone starts with when you come into Mind Magic, which is level one of the core curriculum in the School of Becoming, in module one, I teach you about nervous system love. And the thing I have you do is set an alarm on your phone for the top of the hour, every hour, which all of a sudden drives like, oh my God, I don't have time for that. Hello, lack and scarcity. Yes, you do. You just have been operating a certain way. If you breathe at that different rate, depth, and pattern at the top of every hour, you will have the most dramatic transformation. But if you actually honor it and you do it, You're going to experience what a regulated body feels like because you don't even know you're living in acute stress. You're going to become more patient, which is underpinning for the big things you want to do. You can't take action and lean into risk and love your fear unless you're loving your nervous system. That's it.
I can't help but think to the transition that we have the ability to create in society of even just you're saying, what if we all just focused on breathing at the top of every hour? And the first place my brain went were those big old clocks. And I can picture being in someone's house and at the top of the hour, it's like, boom, boom. What a not great way to regulate your nervous system with this big, loud clock system. And how we have the personal choice and responsibility to reinvent that and look at it differently. So really setting this grandfather clock, if you will, in yourself of, okay, this means I'm going to reset this hour. I'm going to breathe. I'm going to regulate. And I'm not going to have this giant alarm going off in that same way. Silent alarm that's going off on your phone or a sound that you love. I think that's so important. What is something that you're excited about now? I know you're super lit up about this 3-day event, but outside of that, whether it's personally, professionally, where are you at that you're just like goals, excited, lit up?
So this year, we become empty nesters. So our youngest daughter is graduating from high school at the end of May. She already knows where she's going to school. She's leaving at the end of June. We started fulfilling a dream of ours because you talk about like when the girls were little, you talk about them. I'm like, oh my God, when they're going to be like 10, 12 and 13. And then, oh my God, then there's going to be the time where they're like 15, 17 and 18. And we are in that lived experience right now. We're like, oh my God, like they're 18, 20 and 21. This is nuts. And so last year, part of our vision was living in downtown Del Rey. We bought a condo. So we are in the middle of renovating it because our empty nest dream was to leave the suburbs because I don't need to live in the suburbs, but I don't have kids, and to go live in the city. So that's what I'm excited about because every one of the five of us is having massive change this year. My youngest is going to college. My oldest is graduating from her undergrad and going to school somewhere else for her master's. Our middle one is going from living alone to moving in with a roommate in a new apartment at her college. David and I are moving down to the condo. And it's like, yes, so much aliveness. I'm so excited.
I love that. And I love that, especially in the season of empty nester doing this, because what I hear from a lot of empty nesters is this change of identity, but it's not always excitement. It's who am I? Where am I going? And I love that you're like, this is a new chapter. And sure, it might come with some, oh my gosh, they grew up so fast or they're navigating this or whatever. But you're like, this is what this means for us. This is our dream in this season. And this is how we're going to act on it and live on it. And physically relocating has so much power to put yourself into a new space. Oh my gosh, what an inspiration. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I thank you. And I love you so much. And I want to say a couple of things that's just going to loop this together. So of course, and this is part of feeling your feelings. So 2 weeks ago when I was cleaning out the garage, I was crying into Zoe's like baby shorts as I was like cleaning out stuff. That's our youngest is graduating. So of course, it doesn't mean you're absent of emotion, right? Yeah. But it means you don't become the emotion. I could sit, I can cry into her little shorts that were going to be given away. And then move on. And then this is also why you must be an expander mother. If you live for your kids, when the emptiness hits, you will have a rabbit hole, end of life. Oh my God, what does this mean? What do I do? Who am I really? Crisis that is so ridiculous and unavoidable. If you live your life while you're loving and supporting your children and living theirs, you hit this inevitable moment. And you feel like I'm describing.
So good. Tracy, thank you so much for literally lighting us up. Tracy Litt, being here with us today, it was so good. Thank you. And I can't wait to just see you in this new chapter. And thank you for pouring all the love into us.
Thank you. You're a gift to the world, truly.
You, your story, and what you have to offer this world fills me up. I want to meet you. Join me on Instagram at This is Kelsey Smith. And let's create a ripple effect for mamas with goals. Together is better.